Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I am your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, and the A.S. stands for Always Something. I am the producer of Connecticut's mighty, terrific Comic-Con, a.k.a. Terrific-Con, happening every August at the Mohegan Sun, where you will see more artists and writers in the New England area than any other show for a bargain price and free parking, no less. So make it a point to come out to Connecticut this August for the one, the only, the terrific Comic-Con. Now joining me every week, as you know, is the man who knows as much about, if not more, about comics than yours truly. The man who is a living embodiment of the Gamma Bomb incarnate. That's right. He is what the Hulk poops out. Ladies and gentlemen, direct from Random Flea Market, booth A89 and 90. Check it out if you're in the area every Sunday. Buy some good stuff from the one, the only, the man who writes articles for Back Issue Magazine, Jack Kirby Collector, and Alter Ego, John the Incredible Elastic Hulk himself, Cimino.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, John, I got something for you.
Ooh, I love when you got something for me, Mitchie.
Well, I'm gonna be topical, John. I'm going to be on topic this time because there's a lot of things going on in the news. Big news yesterday, Ben Affleck, Academy Award-winning Ben Affleck, or as I like to think of him as Mr. Daredevil, said he is not going to direct the Batman movie, which he promised to not only write, produce, star, but direct it. He has now handed the reins to some unnamed individual. What do you think about this, John? Are you a big Batman fan, a big Ben Affleck fan? Are you concerned about this, or you just don't give a rat's ass?
Well, I hate Ben Affleck, but I think he's the best Batman ever. And I think in some movies he does a pretty good job acting, but I hate the man who he is personally. But I think what he said was, is it like it was just too much work and all that stuff? So then what he had to do is like he had to give up the reins. I'm not really sure, but it looks to me that these DC movies are a disaster.
Whoa, Mr. Gal Gadot's number one fan, Gal Gadot, is saying that the DC films are a disaster. Why?
I just think rather than trying to make stories, I think they're just trying to compete with Marvel, latch onto what they're doing, and then trying to do it better. It almost reminds me of, Mitch, dare I say it, the early days of comics, when DC was the big head honchos, because they always had the good movies and stuff since the 70s, hell, even since the 40s, if you talk about the serials, and that Marvel couldn't do it, whatever, and they were timely at that time, and then eventually when they become Marvel, which was the X-Men stuff and Spider-Man, whatever, those movies, they just did it better and more hip and all that, and now the old-timers are trying to, like, the DC movies are trying to follow suit of what Marvel's doing, which what's what they tried to do with the comic books back in the 60s, and they always failed at it. Why? Because they're trying to almost be something they're not. And so that's what I think is about. Now, is Gal Gadot, is she perfect casting? Absolutely. I think Ben Affleck is perfect casting. I think he's great. The Henry guy, I don't know. I mean, he looks okay. I can never say anybody's better than Christopher Reeve. But I think that's the problem. They're trying to capitalize on this. Look at how quick the Justice League movie is already coming out, and they kind of haven't established anything else. And we saw that in Batman vs. Superman. They threw too much in there, too much to make it like, it's almost like overload.
You know what's funny? You say that. They showed last week a still from the set of Justice League with all of them assembled. You had Cyborg, Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. And it just looked really bad. I mean, the costumes are... I don't know. When they show me a photo from the set of the new Marvel movie, like Black Panther just started production the other day, and here's a clip of Captain America, or here's a scene from Guardians of the Galaxy, I love that. I study those pictures. Like, oh, what can I find out? You know, it's so exciting to see those photos. But when I looked at this Justice League image, it was almost laughable. I mean, the Flash's costume looks like something from a Power Rangers movie. It's all plasticky looking. Why would the Flash be wearing armor? You know what I mean? He's a runner. He should be wearing something like a spandexy outfit that's close to his skin. Aquaman looks like a wrestler with that giant beard. I mean, what the hell's that all about? And he's got... I don't know.
No, I think the vision of Zack Snyder is gone. Like, I think you gotta get somebody else at the helm. Now, things could change because they got Geoff Johns. Now they got Geoff Johns in there, and what they signed him, he's part of like a creative director or something like that. So, I mean, I will give props. Like, I thought the Wonder Woman movie looked great. I mean, I think Gal Gadot is perfectly cast, and I like that it's taking place in World War II and all that stuff.
No, World War One. World War One,
yeah. Okay, now that's fine and all. But it just seems like if they could just go to saying good stories and then maybe eventually give it time. They're trying to do it too fast.
Well,
and I think...
I was going to say, unlike... They actually are quite successful with their TV properties, because I just watched last night... I love Tuesday night now because it's... The Flash is on, then Legends of Tomorrow, which is a DC show. And then after that is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was actually really good last night. And sometimes...
Oh, I agree with you 100%. But what I don't like...
Maybe it's the actors. Maybe it's the girl, Melissa Benoist, that plays Supergirl. She's so sweet. You just love that character because of the actress portraying her, you know?
I do think the casting and stuff on a lot of that... I wasn't too hip. I know a lot of people love that Superman that showed up in the Supergirl thing, but
yeah.
It was Superman with suspenders.
I know, I had a problem with the costume.
That was the worst costume. I'll put Nicolas Cage's costume that back in the 90s, that Tim Burton Superman thing, better than that. I hated those suspenders. It looked like he had overalls on.
I know. You know what's so funny? That's all I could... I couldn't stop looking at that. It took away from the show. I couldn't watch the show because I kept looking at, why is his cape attached to those buckles on his nipples? What is that?
It was so bad. And I don't think that guy did that great of a job. I know people... But I will give you that credit. They are doing good on the TV stuff. But I hated the fact that it doesn't connect, where Marvel has that connect, so you can watch what's going on in Daredevil, S.H.I.E.L.D., or Luke Cage, and now the upcoming Iron Fist and all that. And it all gonna they connect to the movies. And
apparently, when the Infinity War comes out next year, I think it's next year, Infinity War is going to have, from what the rumor is, like 60 or 70 Marvel characters all in that movie at one point. You know how mind-blowing that concept is that you will see in that film?
But that gives it the great continuity. You're going to see that Daredevil, who was the Daredevil in the TV show. And like that when they had Lady Sif, didn't she appear in an episode?
She was on twice. She was on S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah.
Well, yeah, but it even like Linda Carter, I forget her name.
Wonder Woman?
No. The Carter, Peggy Carter.
Oh, Peggy, like, Agent Part, Haley Atwell,
But it still fit the continuity, because that predates all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, and it goes to count. But, like, how bad it's a cohesive universe. And if you remember the Marvel comics back in the day, in the 60s, for Stan Lee, continuity was everything.
Oh, yeah.
It made it that cohesive world where it started with the coming of the Avengers, and then it went into Journey into Mystery, and it went into the Fantastic Four, and like they had that whole thing. It made it a coherent universe that basically the foundation of the Marvel Universe was built on. They're doing that, and I think DC is trying.
Well, is it story driven, or is it considered pandering towards the fanboys and saying, this is what you like to eat, we're going to keep serving it up to you and shoving it down your throat? Is it a good storytelling
for the DC?
What?
So you said are they feeding it to the fans?
No, are they? No, is Marvel, are you and I, as Marvel fanatics, Marvel files, zombies, just so in love with it, we're just eating it up because we're addicted to it? Is it good stories, or they're just playing this by the numbers? We're not even seeing it, but we're being hacked.
There's a little of that, but the way they're doing it reminds me of the comics of old. It reminds me of like the 60s and 70s comics. Now, I'm not going to take away a good movie. I thought when Wonder Woman showed up in Batman vs. Superman, it's one of the greatest moments ever. Like, in when she showed up and she blocks Doomsday's thing, and then the music hit.
Yeah,
I was just like that. See, I will never discredit, even though I like the Marvel's characters better, I will never discredit when something awesome, because like I said, I think the greatest casting for a superhero ever, next to Matches Malone, is Christopher Reeve.
All right, is that the problem with DC? Is because the DC line in the comics, they've reached, okay, at Terrific Con this year, I'm bringing together the folks behind the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was the groundbreaking multi-issue saga in the mid-80s. It was 1984. I believe, 85, 86. Marv Wolfman, George Perez, Jerry Ordway, Mike DiCarlo, and that's where the DC got rid of all their multi-universes, and they condensed it down into one. Since that event in the comics, they have restarted their universe at least three or four times. And maybe that's the problem with the movies, because what version of the character do we put on the screen? Do we give them the John Stewart Green Lantern because that's the one that was in the cartoon? Do we give them the Hal Jordan Green Lantern because that's the one the old-timers remember? Do we give them the Guy Gardner because that was popular in the late 80s? Is the problem with DC is they don't have one solid, cohesive universe, unlike Marvel did for such a long time before they restarted and rebooted, and that's why DC struggles?
We talk about the contemporary stuff, it's all garbage. I can't stand it. And now I know, like, the whole Secret Wars thing, blah, blah, blah. But the foundation... 60s and 70s. But you're right there. See, there lies a problem. What you just said is very cool, Mitch, but there's a problem there. What character do we go with? You go with the most popular character, but that'll never happen because then we live in this PC generation. We do not want to see lack of ethnicity there. You know? Hal Jordan is the most popular Green Lantern, bar none. But you're never going to see, he's going to always be segued out of there for John Stewart. Then the same thing, it's just, that's where the problems lie. And that where, like, and that drives me crazy.
So if they made a DC movie, the Justice League, and based it on the 70s characters, or in the early 80s, a lot of us grew up with, you know, Aquaman in the orange shirt and green pants, The Flash was Barry Allen, Wonder Woman had Invisible Plane.
Those are the most popular versions. Those are the most popular.
Dick Grayson was the Robin, not Tim Drake or Jason Todd. So you're saying if they did a movie based on that version of it, people would accept it?
Oh, absolutely. But that won't happen in Hollywood today because it's so. Like I said, let's be honest. They have Cyborg, who looks horrible, and I love Cyborg. I think Cyborg's a great character, but who looks horrible in the movie. But they have him there because he's an African-American. Same as with the cartoon. With the cartoon that the Justice League Unlimited, they had John Stewart in there, and they had Hawk Girl in there to make another girl and another, and you get an African-American character.
Well, yeah, no, at the time they did the Justice League cartoon, if I'm not mistaken, Hal Jordan was dead. He had become Parallax, and then he became the Spectre. So he wasn't in the modern continuity.
No, he showed up in Superman, and the Superman...
That's right, he was in that one episode in Darkest Night.
I'm just saying, but this is where, if you had the core heroes, would it do better? Probably. But would that ever happen? No, because you're going to have a lot of people saying it's not diversified enough.
Well, Stan Lee just came out this week and said that comics need to... talk about social issues. They need to represent what's going on in the world. That's what he used to do when he was in charge back in the day. What's wrong with having multifaceted ethnicity in the comics and superheroes?
I don't think anything's wrong with it, but we're talking about the most popular version of those heroes. Now, my problem is when they do that, you can tell there's a pretentious flirt with. Like, let's just look at that new Fantastic Four movie that came out. I mean, that was just so pretentious and so trying to be diverse. It was just too much. And now you got that. I mean, I just looked at the newest Thor the other day, and it was the Jane Foster Thor. She fights Curse. It's a girl Curse. I mean, like, it's just, like, so pretentious. It's so, like, it's got to be that. It's just such a turnoff. And the truth is, it is turning off a lot of people. Case in point, Marvel Comics is dead in the water. Their sales are terrible and all that. But why? Why is that happening? And why do they still overseas when they do like the comic books? Why is it all Joe Carmagna's?
I don't know, John. John, I gotta say you've talked about this topic several times on the Power Cosmic podcast. This really does rub your rhubarb the wrong way, as they would say. I mean.
It does, because I love these heroes and stuff. And just to throw one more thing out there, Mitch, this new generation of millennials and all that, they're trying to get as their target market. They're not collecting comic books. They're not, because the comics are not selling. Now, I'm all for ethnicity. Hey, I'm Hispanic. I get it. But my thing is, make a character. Make a new character and then make them great. You know, that Ms. Marvel that they did is pretty cool, that new Ms. Marvel. They had Carol Danvers doing one, and that I think she's the Muslim.
Great. She stretches. She has these big hands and stuff.
Yeah, she stretches. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure about her name. But, like, see, stuff like that. Make a whole new character, and then that's fine. But leave the regular characters the way they are.
So, all right. So, going back to the movies, that's what started this week's episode. Which of the on-screen Batman, when did they get it right? Was the Dark Knight the pinnacle, the pyramid, the top of the heap, best Batman movie ever?
I'm going to say this again. I think Ben Affleck, for me, is the best Batman.
No. Yeah. I'm talking about what's done. He hasn't made that yet.
No. Right, no. But I think it started with... Even though I hated those movies, but, you know, Tim Burton's movie started it, and then I think the animated series, that the Bruce Timm and Paul Dini animated series started making it, so then if we're going to go back to movies, I think it's the Christian Bale stuff that really, when you look at Batman Begins, it really took Batman back, it brought him back.
You know what's funny? When Batman Begins opened, I didn't see it for probably, like, the first month or so that it was out, and you think that... Being a comic book fan, any comic book movie, I'm there first day, first show. But I remember, I mean, I think it was, 2005 maybe? I got to look it up.
Yeah,
I mean, at the time I was at work, I had two young kids, and, you know, you just can't drop everything and run to the movies. So when I finally did get to see it, I saw it in the afternoon by myself in an empty theater, and I almost fell asleep in the beginning of it because I thought it was kind of boring. But that was just me. But I love The Dark Knight. That came out 2008. That, I thought, had a better story. We had the Joker.
To go back to what you were saying, like, you didn't see it right away. Because, see, Batman just came out of, you know, the horrible
the
movie.
The Batman and Robin. Yeah, George Clooney. Right.
So, this was a few years after. But I remember watching the Box Office Mojo. I was remember, like, watching how Batman did. At the starting, it didn't do well. No. And then word of mouth was starting to come, and that's when it stayed in the theaters for a long time, and then it started picking up steam. That's what happened with that. People were tired, but that series kind of brought Batman back, I think, to what he was supposed to be. And, like, that's for me, I think that was the pinnacle of Batman right there.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I was, like, not a big fan because I was trying to figure out where it fit in. I'm like, is this supposed to be before the Tim Burton movies, or... I mean, I was trying to fit the continuity there, not realizing they just had wiped the slate clean and flushed all that down.
Technically, it was supposed to be Mitch, but that's why they had the Joker show up at the end, like that stuff. But it did so well, that's where they kind of went and they were like, let's just keep going with this.
Well, you know what? I watched a documentary, and it was on again this morning, Superman Lives. It's the story of the, you mentioned it earlier, the Nicolas Cage Tim Burton film that never got off the ground, if so to speak. It was in deep production. They had sets built, costumes built, stories. Kevin Smith worked on it for years. This thing was in production for years. And, you know, the budget was going to be like 140 to 200 to 300 million. It kept getting bigger and bigger. And then finally, Warner Brothers pulled the plug on it in late 97, 98, and we never got to see it. But there was so much work done on this thing. This was like literally 4 days before the cameras were going to roll and make a new version of Superman. Have you seen that documentary, John?
I didn't see the documentary, but believe me, I've seen all the pictures, and I don't know if I could stomach the documentary. But ironically,
it's an amazing thing just to watch the craziness that goes on behind the scenes in the circus that is known as Hollywood. Because, I mean, you've got money, you've got talent, you've got artists, you've got set designers, you've got so much people. They're all working so hard, and it just doesn't come out. And to stand back and watch this disaster, somebody had to put their hand up and say, what are we doing here, people? You know?
Well, but if you look at Superman even today and why he's unhit, this guy Henry,
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Henry Cavill. But it's like, Superman is a man out of time. People, I know Zack Snyder wants him to be like more hip, more dark, whatever. Superman isn't. He should be wearing that shiny suit. Like, it should go Christopher Reeve again. Go to Chris, because he's above like what's hip and all that.
You're exactly right. I remember the Lois Lane exchange with Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeve, Superman. And, you know, he's like, oh, Mr. White, could you make sure that half of my paycheck gets sent every week to this address? And she's like, don't tell me, you're a bookie? He goes, no, my mother. And she goes, what, she's a gray-haired old lady? He goes, actually, she's blue-haired. And he was that gee whiz golly gee, that naive Boy Scout that made him so lovable, because he was in such a cynical world of New York, a.k.a. Metropolis, that he stood out like a sore thumb. But that's what drew you to him.
Right, and you look at his suit, and they're like, well, why would he wear that suit and stuff? Because didn't in the comics...
His
like,
mother made it, yeah.
Yeah, they made it. Now, let me ask you this, Mitch. If you had that type of Superman, like that bright, light, innocent Boy Scout, but like trying to figure out how this mad world got that way, how good would he fit right now in the movies? With all that darkness, it's always dark, 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 and he would fit as this little beacon of hope of, like, a world like he thinks it could be. How good would Christopher Reeves fit in that?
Well, I honestly think that's why there's a lot of success behind Chris Evans' portrayal of Captain America, because he does bring a lot of that old-fashioned, not-so-hip characterization to Captain America, and that's what makes that story so compelling. I think you're right. If they did that with Superman, if they made him more like Shazam, you know, the Billy Batson grown-up boy, that would be more successful.
No, I agree. Like, you need that moral compass. Like, everything is dark. That's the problem with the DC stuff. Everything is dark. Everything is so gloomy. Now, Batman fits that perfectly. But Superman should be the other side of the coin, and that's where they have that two sides of the coin thing. Like, where isn't Superman this what reality can be, and Batman is what it is?
You know? Yeah, that's. I've always kind of thought of it. Batman is a normal guy, and Superman's a god, and you know, you strive to be like that. You know,
but Batman's in the streets. He sees a lot of the horror and the darkness of the world. Where Superman has this optimistic vision of like, but the world can still be this. And so, even if he's out of touch, he's supposed to be.
You know what's funny? And every time they get Superman, they always try to make a scene or an episode or, ooh, Superman, we're going to make him dark. We're going to make him become the bad Superman like they did in Superman 3, you know? And even in the quest, Superman 3, he's like, I don't save people anymore. You know, ooh, imagine if he had all that power and he was a bad guy. It's like, well, he's not. So, why you got to be like that, you know?
This is why people are in an uproar when he killed, right? When he killed Zod and stuff.
Oh, yeah, when he burned him? Oh, my God, I remember reading that going, and it's like Superman doesn't kill. That's just it. And when he killed Zod in the Man of Steel film, I was sick to my stomach. I was just like, you know why? I looked down in front of me, and there was about 6 or 7 little kids, ages 8, 9 years old, wearing Superman capes. They had come to the movie theater with their mom and dad, and they wear Superman capes because they were looking forward to seeing Superman. And when they see this guy twist this other guy's neck and kill him, you just saw their face. They were just like, what is it? And yet, you know what's funny? My son Spencer, who was like 16 or 15 at the time, you know, into video games, he liked The Man of Steel. He saw that movie 2 or 3 times with his buddies. They thought it was great. Yet he doesn't like the old Christopher Reeve. So again, maybe it's a time thing. Maybe it's a generational thing. He's a young kid.
But But the thing is if you write a good story, like, of the way Superman's supposed to be, then, you know, maybe that would have gotten the masses, too. We don't know. Is the world darker? I don't know. I mean, all I know is I think that a lot of why Superman isn't hip today is because of that.
Well,
think,
look at the Brandon Routh movie. That was they call it the love letter to the Richard Donner Superman films. That one was totally, even the casting of Brandon Routh, he was like a clone of Christopher Reeve. They tried to make it like
the next chapter. They went so far away.
But that bombed. That didn't work.
It bombed because it went so far away from what Superman. I mean, they had him have a kid, and he was out of touch. And let's be honest, Walt was a good looking guy and stuff, but he could have been Superboy. I thought he would have been a perfect Superboy. He wasn't Superman. Then we get a good impersonation of Clark Kent with like Reeves and stuff.
Well, yeah, that movie had a lot of weird things. I mean, parts of it I love, and then parts of it I'm like, what the hell? The fact that he did have the boy, and then he left Lois Lane with a kid, so Superman was a deadbeat dad. What the hell is that all about? And she has a kid, but it is Superman's, but she doesn't remember that it's his kid. I was like, what's going on there? What happened?
Well, yeah, well, Lois was, she was jumping bed to bed at the time, you know? Who knows?
I don't, and the casting was a little odd, too, because Kate Bosworth, who played Lois Lane, looked like she was, like, 15 years, she looked young, okay? And I'm like, how old is this kid? Like, the kid was like 8 or 9, she looked like she's 25. What she had when she was like 17 was like Teenage Mom on MTV or something, you know?
Yeah.
And how could she have been this big reporter for the newspaper? I mean, the whole thing was crazy. And they had, of course, in that movie, one of the worst actors ever is Marsden. You know who I'm talking about? Who plays Cyclops? Yeah, I can't stand that guy. Every movie he's in, it's just like, how did this guy get a part in a movie?
Because he was with Fox, and he was with Bryan Singer with Fox, and so when he had the deal to go to, when Singer had the deal to go with Warner Brothers, he told, I guess he's good friends with that guy, and he said, why don't you come with me, and that's why he jumped ship, and he went there and he put him in the movie. Because him and Singer are friends.
Oh, because I was like, this guy, he's, when it comes to Cyclops in the movies, I can't stand him. He drives me nuts. Whenever I see the X-Men movies, he is the worst part of those films. Okay? So, there's my two cents. What are you going to do? Anyway, we're going to wrap this one up because my lovable little dog here wants to go outside, and she almost chewed up one of my omnibuses, and that's like, you know, death. Okay? I'm looking at the floor, and I'm like, what has she got? Oh, my God, she's chewing up one of the Marvel omnibuses. And I don't know what to, I'm besides myself, John. I'm besides myself.
Okay.
Wrap it up, John. One last question. If you could be Batman, or you were Batman, what actor would you want to see play you on the big screen?
I said this earlier.
Ben Affleck.
My favorite Batman of all time. No. You didn't hear me when I said this, but my favorite Batman of all time is our very own Matches Malone. Our cosplayer, Matches Malone.
All right, and if I can have one Batman to play, if I was Batman and they said we're going to make a movie about you, there would be no other choice. But my guest this year at Terrificon, Adam West himself. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Come and see the last appearance of the dynamic duo in the Nutmeg State. Adam West, Burt Ward, Batman and Robin will be at Terrificon August 18th to the 20th at Mohegan Sun for the Terrific Comic Con. Be there. How about that?
I saw that coming a mile away.
I know. This whole episode was one big plug. Anyway, Johnny, we're going to wrap it up, wind up the rubber band on this plane, and take off. What do we say, Johnny?
And that's that.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the Terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.